because they get time off from school, right? And they walk through the stores and they see decorations, but the decorations don't always tell the real story of Christmas. And so today, in our children's program, we're actually going to talk about the real story of Christmas. And we're going to use that microphone there, and we're going to start with a song. Now, how many of you know the song Jingle Bells? Yeah, Jingle Bells. This is a pretty popular song. Well, hundreds of years ago, there was this festival. What's that? Yeah, well, we're going to use the melody, but we're going to use different lyrics. You see, Jingle Bells talks about a celebration, but it doesn't talk about who. So we have, our lyrics are going to tell us about what Christmas is really all about, but it's to the melody of Jingle Bells. So let's get the kids to stand up, and anyone who wants to stand up, you can stand as well. And go ahead, Victoria. This is to the melody of Jingle Bells.
Christmas bells, ring them out today. Christ was born in Bethlehem to take our sins away. Christmas bells, ring them out today. Tell all the world of Jesus' love this happy Christmas day.
You guys did great. Let's do it louder.
Ring them out today. Christ was born in Bethlehem to take our sins away. Christmas bells, ring them out today. Tell all the world that Jesus loved is happy Christmas day.
All right, everybody, have a seat. Great job. You know, Jesus is revealed all throughout the Bible. And some people don't realize that Jesus' story is in every page of this book. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Well, today we're going to actually do a story. I'm going to move thanks back a little bit. It's got four more days. And Victoria's going to be my helper today. And I need, are you a good reader, young man?
Yeah.
I'm going to need a volunteer. So if you could come up here and hold that for me for a second, Victoria. And what we're going to do, you're TJ?
Mm-hmm.
All right, TJ. You are going to be Joseph now. All right? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you Joseph's clothes, and you're just going to drape them over you. And you're going to hold this, and when I call you to come over, you can have a seat for right now. You're going to read Joseph's card for me, okay? And Victoria, I've already drafted in advance. Get your arms under there. And guess who she's going to be?
Mary.
All right. And there's your dialogue. So we're going to pretend we're going to go on a time trip. We're going to go back to the beginning when God created everything. All right, so everybody close your eyes. I'm going to make a backing up sound like a machine. And we are all now in the Garden of Eden. How cool is that, huh? I got a picture here of what we think the Garden of Eden might look like. What are some things you see in that picture?
Flowers,
okay. We got some cool, pretty flowers, lots of colors. What else is there?
A waterfall,
yeah, and mountains in the background. You think that's a beautiful setting? Do you know the Garden of Eden was perfect? Did you know that? Do you guys know that? It was perfect. Do you know why it was perfect? Because God made it. God created it to be perfect. And God made everything in the garden to be especially useful for everything. The animals got along with each other. They didn't have any fights. You know what? God just had one rule, though. In all these trees and plants, there was this one tree God did not want people to eat from. But there was a ton of other trees that they could choose from. So let's all pretend we're looking for food, and let's all pretend we're picking fruit out of trees to eat. Let's all pick some fruit. Come on, everybody get in there, pick some fruit, fill your baskets. All right, now you got enough fruit? Do you know if you wanted more, there's plenty, because God made it so that all your needs could be provided for in the garden. But the two people God created, Adam and Eve, they did something that God told them not to do. God said not to eat from that one tree, and they did. And the world went from perfect, like this picture. Oops, we got a picture that doesn't belong in there. To a world that was no longer perfect. In the Garden of Eden, all of a sudden, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin came into the world. Now, I'm going to give you a definition for sin. So everybody shake your hands out and do after me. Sin is anything we think, say, or do that breaks God's law or makes God sad. That's a tear rolling down God's face. Who could tell me something they think might be a sin that we could think? And anybody in the room, go ahead.
Lying.
You know what? Lying we say, but we have to think about it first, right? And here's what's really weird about lying. Then we have to think about it afterwards because we got to remember it to keep telling it. You know, so sin is a sin. Lying's a sin of thinking, saying, and then doing because we got to keep repeating it. What's a sin we might do? Stealing, taking something that's not yours. And you know, it's not hard to steal. Because when I was a kid, my mom would say, you can have cookies, just not after school, because I don't want you to ruin your supper. So I was allowed to have cookies, but there was a time when I wasn't allowed to have them, and I would eat those cookies during that time. And that's also being disobedient. That's a sin of doing, because I'm doing something when I'm not supposed to do it. And we don't need to do another one there, but sin separates us from God. Just like my iPad in my hand keeps my left hand from touching my right hand, sin separates us from God. It gets between us, and there's nothing we can do to take care of that. Now, God knew that that was going to be a real problem. Once sin came into the world, and God said, I have to send a Savior. I'm going to send somebody who's going to take care of this because there's nothing you can do about it at all. And so, let's go into the future a little bit, but not all the way back. Close your eyes, and we're going to go forward. And now, we are in the Bible times of just before when Jesus was born. And so, on our next page here, we see an angel appearing to Mary. And would it be really cool if Mary could tell us what the angel had to say and what was going on in her life? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have Mary.
I'd love to tell you my story. It all started on an ordinary day for me. I was doing my regular chores when all of a sudden I heard a voice calling my name. I turned around and it was an angel. God sent his messenger to talk to me. The angel told me that God was pleased with how I was living. I was so confused and afraid. Nothing like this had ever happened to me. I tried to figure out what the angel meant as he kept talking. The angel told me not to be afraid. Then he said the strangest thing. He said I was going to have a baby. He would grow up to save the world from the punishment of sin. The angel explained that the baby would not have a human father like all other babies do. Instead, God would put the baby inside of me to grow. He told me that God can do anything. I want to live my life to please God. So I said, I am God's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. Then the angel left.
All right, let's thank Mary for telling us her story. All right. You know, God selected a young woman, and I want to share this with you. Most Bible scholars believe Mary was like 13 years old. Victoria's going to be 13 in February. So functionally, she could very well be about the age when Mary found out that God was pleased with her life and chose to use her to have his will happen. Well, you know, Mary told this to the man that she was betrothed to. Who knows what the word betrothed means? It's a big word. It means she was kind of engaged. We would use the word engaged today. She was going to marry this guy, Joseph. Now, you think Joseph might ask some questions if Mary said that an angel visited me and God said, I'm going to have a baby, but it's not going to have a human dad? I'll bet you Joseph had some questions. And so, I got to turn it the other way. How about that? Joseph was sleeping. God talks to Joseph in a dream. And so, Joseph, would you come up and share with us your story? Let's hear it for Joseph. I'm going to clip this right here, and you go ahead.
Of course, Mary and I were going to get married when I found out she was going to have a baby. Then an angel came to me in the dream. He told me the baby inside Mary was put there by God himself. It was okay for me to go ahead and marry her like I promised, even though the baby didn't belong to me. The angel told me to name the baby Jesus, which means God saves. Jesus would save people from their sins. The angel told me that this baby would be God himself, who was coming to earth to be with us. God was keeping his promise after so many years. This baby inside Mary would grow up and save the world from the punishment of sin. So I did what the angel said. I kept my promise and married her.
Thank you, Joseph. Let's hear it for Joseph. All right, so now we know God talked to Mary and told her she was going to give birth to a baby who was going to save the world. And then God confirmed that for Joseph so that Joseph knew to do what God wanted. And that's what's important in this story is they were called to obey God. And we're all called to obey God. And so they did that. And when they were getting ready, they took a long journey. At this very time, the government had told them that everybody had to report to their hometown so that they could be taken count of. In our country, we call it the census, and in the Bible, it calls it taking the census too. So they were being counted, and they took this journey. But Mary was almost ready to have this baby while they were on the trip. You think that'd be pretty tough to do on a donkey back, riding a donkey for miles and miles? Yeah, it was rough. And then when they got all the way into the city of Bethlehem, they could not find any place to stay. But eventually, they were given a place called a manger. It's where animals lived and where animals slept and ate. How many of you have a pet at home? What kind of pet you have? A turtle. Well, they're not really loud and smelly. So, well, what kind of pet do you have? A cat? They're obnoxious, right? I think all pets will be in heaven, except maybe cats. What other pets do we have here? Nobody else has a pet in the room? Well, we have a big dog named Snickers. Snickers is brown, and she's not going anywhere for a while, so I thought that would be a good name for her. But sometimes animals, they smell, and they do bodily functions where they live. And could you imagine if you were a baby and you were born in the place where they did all that business? That's pretty gross, huh? It was yucky. But Scripture says that Jesus humbled himself and came to earth and set down all of his privileges to become just like us. Not only just like us, but like us in the lowliest sense. He had the most humble birthplace. Almost all of us in this room were probably born in a hospital or in a place where there were people special to take care of that childbirth. Jesus was born in a stall where they put the hay to feed the cattle. And so Jesus was born. Now, do you think Jesus stayed a baby? What do you think? We all grow up, right? Well, Jesus grew up just like every one of us. Now, Christmas Day, the gift of Christmas is not just baby Jesus. The gift of Christmas is the fact that God sent Jesus to grow up and become a man. And at this point in his life, when he was 33 years old, Jesus experienced everything that we can experience in the form of temptation. But he never, ever once sinned. He was perfect. And the word for perfect in the Bible is holy. And so Jesus was holy, and he was the gift God promised all the way back when the Garden of Eden was contaminated with sin, and God said, I need to send a Savior. God sent his son Jesus to be that Savior. And when he was 33 years old, he laid down his life. He voluntarily gave up his life, and he was nailed to a cross. Now, if you put a big nail through my hand, what do you think would come out of that hole?
Blood.
What do you think?
Blood.
Yeah, blood. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. But not just any blood. It had to be holy blood, perfect blood. And so Jesus, do you think he had a choice? Do you think Jesus could have said, I'm not going to do this? What do you think? Jesus could have walked away. He could have thought a thought and changed those circumstances. Matter of fact, before it happened, he actually asked his father. He said, if this cup can pass me by, if you can do something different, I'm okay with that, but your will be done. And so Jesus even asked, could God have a different plan? But if there's not a different plan, I choose to do this because I want to fulfill God's plan. And so Jesus was nailed to the cross, and he hung there, yes.
There was no other way?
That was God's way. And see, the issue isn't other ways. The issue is God gives us one way. And God's one way was for his son to pay the price for us. Otherwise, you would have to be up there. Do you want to do that? None of us want to do that. But God gave us a way to not have to pay the price ourselves. And that was so Jesus paid the price for us. And so after he hung there, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. And that he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again, according to the scriptures. Jesus fulfilled God's promise all the way back in the Garden of Eden to provide a Savior for all people. And so the real present on Christmas Day, that we look at a tree and we look at boxes wrapped in gifts and we look at sharing time with family and we look at baby Jesus in the manger, the real gift on Christmas Day was that God provided the answer to his promise for us to have a Savior. And that's what Christmas is really all about. The world doesn't always know that, but the world needs to know that. How many of you could tell somebody else, you know, TJ, you showed great bravery here today when you came up and sang. As a matter of fact, the lyrics you sang that jumped out at me, I'm going to open this up because I would say I'm wrong if I didn't. It says here, with a faith like a child, I'm not afraid, I'm running wild. For everything that will be done, I am yours and you are my deliverer. That's what Christmas is all about. Wow. Wow. And if you can have the faith of a child and be brave to come up here and tell people through your song about Jesus, how many of you know Jesus personally? How many of you have said, I want Jesus to be my boss, to save me? Because the difference between being separated from God and being in a relationship with God is asking Jesus to apply what he did on the cross special to you. And you can do that right now where you're sitting. And it's not just for children. This is a message that God wrote for children so that everybody would understand it. And anyone who's not made that decision to say, Jesus, I know there's stuff I've done that separates me from God, and I want to be forgiven and have a relationship with you right now. You can do that in your hearts and in your minds right where you're sitting. Now, it would be my prayer that everybody who hears the message of Christmas would make that decision to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Now, TJ, you had the bravery to come up and sing today. Do you think you could go tell somebody else what Christmas is all about? You do? I'm going to give you something to do that. These are Christmas cards that you can put inside your Christmas cards, and on each one of these, there's different pictures in here. This one here, I hope your Christmas rings out with cheer, but on the bottom it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And I would like you each to take one of these, and the adults can have one too, and you can put this inside one of your Christmas cards, color it, make it look pretty, personalize it, and give it to somebody who you know needs to know Jesus in their life. Can you guys do that? I think you can. And so, Victoria, can you give those out? How many of you ever have friends over your house? You know, if you have a sleepover, how many of you like watching movies when your friends are over? Well, you ever heard of the Jesus film? Well, we have the Jesus film for children version that the Jesus film people made special for us to give out at Christmas this year. So all the young people here are going to get one of these today. And when you have your friends over, you could put the movie in and you could show them the real story of Jesus through a movie. And so I'm going to give you one, and you one, and you one, and you one, and you one. You won. And Victoria, can you just, here, we'll give her one too. And in the back there, would you just give her one? There you go, Bobby. Now, I'm going to close it out with a song here. And this song is really all about what the good news of Christmas is all about. So Victoria, when you're done with that one, I need you to come up here and play one more song for me. I'm going to go through the words real quick. Come on, people, now don't be late. It is time now to celebrate. Nothing in the world is better. Nothing in the world compares. Come on, people, now jump on in. We are giving the praise to him. Nothing in the world is greater than God's love for you and you and you and you. And then the chorus goes, Jesus is the good news. He's the way, the life, the truth. Gave his life a sacrifice, he paid the price. Jesus is the good news, he's the way, the life, and truth. He forgives, all our sins. He's the Lord. He's our friend. Jesus is the great good news. And I think we have a song search issue.
Good news to all the roses.
It was in the folder you were in.
It was? It was in the Christmas one? Oh, duh.
Here's what we're going to do. Victoria, I'd like you to hold the visual. And I'm going to show everybody the motions for this. Thanks so much. Let's make sure it works. All right, we're going to go back to beginning. Now, it's going to go like this. We're going to all stand, and it's going to be, come on, people, now don't be late. It is time now to celebrate. Nothing in the world is great, better. Nothing in the world compares. You know what? I'll show it while we're going here. All right, let's... Come on, people, now don't be late. It is time now to celebrate. Nothing in the world is better. Nothing in the world compares. Come on, people, now jump on in. We are giving a praise to Him. Nothing in the world is greater than God's love for you. And you, and you. He changed. Jesus is the good, good news. He's the way, the life, and truth. Gave His life a sacrifice. He paid the price. Jesus is the good, good news. He's the way, the life, and truth. He forgives all our sins. He's the Lord. He's our friend. Jesus is the great good news. Now, we'd play more of that, but I want to honor your days now. How many of you like songs?
Yeah.
And how many of you like telling people good news?
Yeah.
That's what you can do when you tell people about Jesus. And do you know if everybody who knew Jesus just told one person a year, in 22 years, the entire planet would know Jesus? Just one at a time. That's a great Christmas gift to give somebody for Christmas this year, isn't it? All right, so everybody shake out your wiggles. Put your hands together. When you pull them past your eyes, close your eyes. When you pull them past your chins, bow your heads down. Dear God, we thank you, Lord, for everybody being present today. And I'm hoping, Father, and praying that somebody today who didn't know Jesus came to hear the true story of Christmas and why you sent your Son to save us from our sins. And that if you're speaking in their hearts, Lord, that they made a decision. They chose in their hearts and in their minds to make Jesus their Lord, their boss. We ask you, Father, to make that very evident to them and to bless each of us that we would go on. And as Christmas unfolds, Lord, we would share the true story of Christmas with all who would hear. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Have a seat.
Thank you, Brian.